The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever come in on the middle of a conversation or a TV show and you're out of focus because you don't know what has been discussed before this and you're jumping right into the middle of things? So you're kind of confused. You don't know what's going on. Well, that is the way it could be hearing tonight's Old Testament reading from Ezekiel. We're kind of plunged into the middle of the book of Ezekiel, and we don't know what has gone before tonight's reading, and we don't know what's coming after the reading, in the context of the book of Ezekiel, that is. So let me give you a little background. Ezekiel was a prophet in exile. Ezekiel was one of the people of Judah who were carried off to Babylon. Ezekiel was a spokesman for God, and during his ministry in Babylon as a prophet, he prophesied that the temple back in Jerusalem and Jerusalem itself was going to be overthrown. That this temple in which the people prided themselves, that was the center of their religion, that was the center of their country of Judah, was going to be torn down. And why? Is it because God is capricious? Is it because God gets tired of people and says, well, let's get them out of the way and I'll focus my attention on someone else? And that's not it. That's not it at all. It's because the people were unfaithful to God's covenant. It's because the people had bowed down and worshipped other gods, false gods. It's because time and time again, God had sent his prophets to his people to call them to repentance and to return to the way of the Lord, to return to the covenant. And they basically went, eh. Many of the kings of Judah were unfaithful. Many of the kings of Judah led the people into idolatry. And the priests, most of them weren't much good at all. In fact, those who served in the temple erected little chapels, if you will, little shrines to the gods of the nations, and the signs of the zodiac were there in the temple. Ezekiel talks about that in his prophecy. But the Lord pleads with him again and again and again. Come back to me. I am your husband. I have betrothed you to myself. You are my bride. Come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. He even sent the prophet Hosea to proclaim this message of repentance and return to the Lord. And the Lord did a really scandalous thing to get his point across. He told Hosea to take for his wife a prostitute. Her name was Gomer, by the way. So if you ever wonder, how did Gomer Pyle get his name? Well, it's a biblical name, but it is a woman's name in the Bible. So Hosea took a prostitute as his wife. He had two children with her. And she left Hosea, and she resumed her life of prostitution. And the Lord used this as an illustration of the unfaithfulness of his people. Hosea's wife, Hosea's bride, was unfaithful to him. And so were God's people unfaithful to the one who had formed them, when he looked upon them in mercy in Egypt, and who had gathered them to himself and placed his name upon them and brought them across the Red Sea. and given them his law, his book of the law at Sinai, and then finally led them into the promised land. The land of promise. The land flowing with milk and honey. A good land. An abundant land. A land that produced everything they needed. You would think after those years of bondage in Egypt, they would be more grateful. But they forgot what the Lord had done for them. They forgot. And they basically, by their attitude and by their adoption of the worship of false gods, were saying to God, "Eh." Pains me to say this, but do we forget what the Lord has done for us in Christ Jesus? Are we sometimes unfaithful? Do we as a congregation, by our indifference or our neglect of God's word, go, "Eh," to him? Pretty good crowd here tonight, but it's nothing like the membership of our congregation, and our attendance on Sunday morning is nothing, nowhere near approximating the membership of our congregation. We tend to go astray as sinners, just as God's people did. Anyway, the temple is still standing in Jerusalem when Ezekiel and a large number of Judeans are carried off to exile in Babylon. Now, the people are hoping that they will be able to return to their homeland and their city and their temple soon, but they're going to be there in Babylon some 70 years. Ezekiel is speaking to the people who are in exile in Babylon, the Jews or the Hebrews. And do you know what the word he speaks is? The temple that you remember with such fondness is going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going to fall to a pagan people. This is what he preached to them. And they knew the geopolitical situation of the ancient world. They knew what a mighty force in the ancient world Babylon was. They knew something bad was going to happen. And finally, just right after tonight's reading, word comes to them that Jerusalem has fallen, that the temple is no more. And it hits the people hard. And that brings us to the opening of this evening's Old Testament lesson. The Lord speaks to Isaiah, "So you, son of man," this means human being. It's also the term Jesus applied to himself in the Gospels. "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel." A watchman standing on the city walls, keeping alert for the enemy, ready to shout a warning when the enemy appeared so that the people would not be taken by surprise. The Lord tells Ezekiel, "Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me, even if that word from my mouth is a harsh word, is a word of law, you shall give them warning." Ezekiel, "If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. You will be responsible because I gave you the word that was intended to enable the wicked to see his need of repentance, to turn from his way. You shall surely die. If you know your scriptures, you'll recognize that that is the word the Lord God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden. On the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. You shall return to the dust. Dust you are, to dust you shall return. Which brings us back to Ash Wednesday, doesn't it? Continuing on, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity. But you will have delivered your soul. You will not be responsible because you have been faithful to the word that I gave you to speak." Now again, remember, this word of the Lord that comes to Ezekiel in this evening's Old Testament reading is spoken right before news comes that the temple and Jerusalem have been sacked. It's a sobering word that Ezekiel speaks to the people. It is a word of warning. There is a threat contained in this word. First, a threat to Ezekiel if he is unfaithful to his calling as a prophet of God, but then a threat to the wicked one who hears Ezekiel's message, the Lord's message to turn from his way. And if he doesn't, okay. Then the Lord says to Ezekiel, "And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we shall rot away because of them. How then can we live?" It was starting to sink into these exiles in Babylon that yes, it was their fault. It was on account of their wickedness they had been uprooted and taken off to a pagan foreign land. They had not been faithful to the covenant of the Lord. They were saying, "Our transgressions and our sins are upon us. We're rotting because of them. How can we live on account of our guilt? How can we as a nation live guilty as we are of breaking the Lord's commandment, of despising his word, despising his covenant?" Again, this is a sober word. It's a sobering moment when you come face to face with your guilt, with your responsibility for your iniquity, for your unfaithfulness to the Lord. And as I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself also. How can we live? The Lord says, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. My pleasure is in this, that the wicked turn from his way and live." There are two ways in the scripture. And if you read Psalm 1, which I'm going to turn to right now, if you want to, you can too. It's amazingly the first psalm in the front of the hymnal. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law, in the instruction of the Lord, and on his law, on his instruction, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so, They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are two ways in life, even though many people don't recognize this. There is our own way, where we seek to fulfill all our desires, where we make a comfortable life for ourselves, where we pursue whatever we want, and yet fail to gladly hear and learn God's word. In fact, to despise it. That is the way of the wicked. And to be wicked, you don't have to be some sort of Charles Manson or Adolf Hitler or anything like that. You don't have to be guilty of some gross violation of God's law. If the Lord your God does not come first, if you do not fear, love, and trust in Him above all things, not just every now and then, but consistently, you are walking in the way of the wicked. And I am too. But there is another way. The Lord pleads with His people, turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Turn back to me. Turn back to my way. Turn back to me and be confident of my loving kindness and my mercy and my eagerness to renew you as my people and forgive your iniquities, and to call you my righteous, beloved people once again. Turn back. Turn away from your evil ways. And here Ezekiel gets kind of tricky with verse 12. And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness, notice, if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. They shall be counted as naught. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Here we have a hint of the gospel. Here we have a pretty strong statement of what Isaiah says. All of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. We cannot trust in our own righteousness. We cannot trust in our ability to walk in the way of righteousness because we fail. We so easily step aside from that way. Even if we turn one degree off of the straight way, ultimately, we're veering away from the Lord. But listen to this. Listen to this. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, law, you shall surely die on account of your sin. Yet, if he, the wicked person, turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right, he shall surely live. This is speaking of the wicked person who turns from his or her own way and turns to the Lord. This is speaking of the person who hears God's law that says the soul that sins shall surely die. The wages of sin are death. There is none righteous, no, not one. And this person throws himself or herself upon God's mercy, because that is why God has his law proclaimed, to show us the disease of our sin, to expose our, open our eyes to our guilt. God warns us so he can avert the danger that threatens us. God warns us about our sin so we can turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved. Here's an example of the people who trusted in their own righteousness. Many of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, many of the Sadducees, you know, the religious people, those who worked in the temple, they thought their very status as priest of God, or Pharisees, the holiest of the holy, guaranteed them entry into heaven. They did not recognize their sin. And this is why Jesus jumped so heavily upon them, to open their eyes to their folly, their self-idolatry. And here's an example of the wicked. Have you heard of Zacchaeus? The wee little tax collector who, when he heard Jesus was coming to town, climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus saw him in that tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today I shall dine with you." And don't know if Zacchaeus climbed down that tree or if he just dropped out. So eager was he to have the Lord come home with him. But the Lord ate with him. Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector. Zacchaeus, a person who is viewed as outside the people of God. Zacchaeus, who had, as a tax collector, taken money that was not his, who was living the high life, a good life, wine, women, and song. And yet Zacchaeus says, "If I have gotten anything unjustly, I'll restore it. I'll give it back fourfold," I think it was. And the prostitutes who followed Jesus, the drunkards, the demon-possessed. These are examples of the wicked who turn from their way to walk in the way of grace and mercy and forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ. Going back to Psalm 1, remember, it said, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Blessed is the man. Blessed is a man who does these things, who does not do these things. Have you ever listened to the counsel of unbelievers who have told you, "Oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. That's Christianity stuff, that Bible stuff is outmoded"? Have you stood in the way of sinners, and this doesn't mean impeding the way of sinners, but in the path they follow? Has your delight in life always been in the instruction of the Lord? And do you meditate, do you chew upon, do you reflect upon his instruction day and night? If so, guess what? You have kept the third commandment perfectly. You have kept the second commandment perfectly. You have kept the first commandment perfectly. And keeping these commandments perfectly, all the others should be a breeze for you, a snap. that's not true, is it? If it were up to us to do what this psalm says, we couldn't do it. We would be in the way of the wicked who are swept aside like chaff. But there is a man who has avoided the way of sinners, avoided the counsel of the wicked, who has refused to sit in the seat of scoffers. There is a man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditated on the Lord's instruction day and night. There is a man who is blessed, and that is Jesus Christ, God's Son, become man. He is the man. He is the man who is God in the flesh, who has fulfilled all righteousness for you, who has taken the slop bucket of your sins and my sins and emptied it out and washed it clean with his holy and precious cleansing blood and has filled that bucket full with his grace and mercy through holy baptism. There is a blessed man who willingly went to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And on that cross, he was not treated as a blessed man. He was treated by God as a wicked man. He was cursed by God, for as the law says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Scripture says that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Why? So we could be blessed by God through faith in him. Blessed with what? Blessed with forgiveness of all of your sins. Blessed with what? Blessed with rescue from death and the devil. Blessed with what? With an eternal salvation. Blessed with what? With the promise of the resurrection of the body. Blessed with what? You are God's child. He's inscribed his name on you in holy baptism. You belong to him. And he loves you. And he has set the way of life before you in Christ Jesus. And he pleads with you. And he pleads with me to walk in that way, because why should we choose to die when instead we can live because Christ Jesus died for us? Going back to Ezekiel, God says to him, your people say the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. You have gone astray, my people, Ezekiel is to tell them. You have gone astray from the way of the Lord, but he is eager to receive you back. He threatens you so that he may bless you. He pronounces you dead in trespass and sin so he can raise you up and make you alive through his forgiveness and salvation. And so it is for you, and so it is for me. The law strikes us dead every time. And what we're to do is to listen to it and say, amen. I surely deserve your temporal and eternal punishment, O God. But you have given your Son to me. The law strikes us dead so that the gospel can make us alive. The law threatens us with punishment so we can turn to the God who has mercy for the sake of his Son. We come to this place as sinners, but sinners with a difference. We are redeemed by God in Jesus Christ. He has placed his holy name on us in baptism. Our sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. God has made us alive. God has made us a new creation in Jesus. And he delights to have us here so we can listen to his word, so we can be strengthened as we walk in the way of life that is in Jesus. And how does he strengthen you for that? It's the same way he forgives you for that, for your sins, through the gospel that is preached to you, the gospel that intersected your life and made you a new creation when you were baptized, the gospel proclaimed to you as you are absolved from your sins, and the gospel given to you in bread and in wine, which by some miraculous measure is Christ's body and blood. The very body and blood he offered up for you for all of your sins. What does our baptism mean? It means that by daily contrition and repentance, we should drown the old Adam with all of his sins and evil desires and turn to Christ, who is our way and our truth and our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.